perhaps to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I am Doug McBurney, host of the weekly worldview at KGOV.com. Glad to be sitting in another Friday night here in Denver on KLT and nationwide via the Information Radio Network.
IRN. Hey, Doug.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah.
I got to tell you, neat thing from IRN. One of their engineers there, Rich, he worked evenings, Monday through Thursday, and he was sad. He let us know that we moved the Bob and Doug night to Friday night because he doesn't get to work this shift.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
That's too much.
That's quite a compliment.
That's too much. You know what, Bob? Let's
from a guy in the business,
a man in the business,
an engineer at the network,
in the know.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what. I'm so moved. Let's dedicate the show to Rich at IRN.
That's a good... We'll dedicate to Rich at IRN.
This one's for you.
Wait a minute. It's a bit much maybe to dedicate a whole show. Why don't we dedicate the first segment?
Well, he was really nice. He complimented me.
Yeah, I think, you know, we don't want to get overly out of control. Let's dedicate the first segment. So what's the first...
We'll dedicate... All right, the first segment...
The first story we have?
Dedicated to Rich at IRN. Oh, the first story this week?
Yeah.
Well, the first...
Dedicated to Rich at IRN.
The first story this week we've got to do, Bob, is a correction from last week's show.
That's terrible. How can we dedicate a correction to Rich?
Sorry about that,
Rich. What's the correction?
Well, apparently on last week's show, I brought up an article that I had pulled off of the Drudge Report.
Drudge Report.
An article that was on the Drudge Report. And it reported that Oliver North...
Wait a minute. The North story was not true.
The North story was not true.
It was not true. And, okay, yeah. Hey, we weren't the only ones that picked
up. No, I heard many major, I won't name any of them, but I heard major talk show hosts talk about the story, which is one of the reasons I decided to talk
about it. It was on Drudge at the top of the page that Oliver North was being grilled by Senator Al Gore.
Right.
15 years ago, however,
1987.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And Ollie North was saying that Osama bin Laden is a bad guy.
Right.
And Senator Al Gore was making fun of him.
Right.
And so we were duped. We believed it.
It was so juicy. It now currently residing in the Too Good to Be True file.
You just wanted to believe it. And it was above the fold on Drudge's page.
I got to admit, I've fallen into the habit of believing almost everything I read on Drudge.
And that's a sign, psychologists have that as one of their evidences that you need their services. If you believe everything on Drudge, and Drudge is great.
Oh,
it really
is. Fantastic news source.
Yeah.
He's not the greatest writer in the world. Have you read his book?
It reads, no.
Make Your Hair Hurt. It's so bad. He's good at the sound. He's good at a hyperlink, HTML. He's brilliant.
He's an editor.
He's an editor and he's a linker. What does he say? He links to the stinks. He's good at that.
He's a linker.
But the book, which I bought. Anyway, but we have to correct. The North story wasn't true. Oliver North put up on his website a correction that corrects, every aspect of the story. But I don't think we talked that much about it. And if I'm not mistaken, I gave the caveat.
You gave a caveat that, now, we haven't verified this. This may not be true.
Yeah.
But it sounds fun.
It sure sounded.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that the Rich from IRN segment is over.
And I want to thank Eric in Georgia who emailed this to me to let me know that we'd been led astray.
Okay.
So.
And we always put the corrections at the very top of the show.
Very top of the show, especially when we're dedicating the show to
someone.
Policy
for a decade.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so that's that. We'll get that house cleaning out of the way. And I got to ask you, what was your opinion? I'm sure you saw it, the now famous Axis of Evil speech by President George W. Bush.
Well, yeah, that was great. And Iran, Iraq, and North Korea. And hopefully we're going to be going after Iraq, I'd pick, out of those three to start with.
Yeah.
Be fun.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against
calling them evil. You know, one general in the Soviet Union said the reason the Soviet Union collapsed was because of Ronald Reagan calling them the evil empire.
Really?
And all the turmoil within, when it sort of emboldened some within the Politburo and even in their military to say, hey, you know, we are pretty evil. Look at everything we've done. We're pretty evil. And eventually it collapsed of its own moral decadence.
Yeah.
That's the argument from their side. It collapsed financially because socialism doesn't work.
Right.
That was cool. So it's good to call evil evil.
Yeah, it's great to now. And
Bush also said, after the speech. He said, and you know those pro-abortion judges I put on the Texas Supreme Court? They're evil, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I missed that part of the speech.
Oh, he didn't say that?
Was that in the Democratic response?
It was
response?
On the Drudge Report.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah. Anyway.
I believed it when I read it.
I think you just made that up.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, all right. I have an email on the Axis of Evil speech. And again, this is something that it's really unconfirmed. But it was sent to us from a listener out there in the ether somewhere.
Okay, if it's from a listener, it's at least as credible from the get-go as on the Drudge Report.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So well, a listener is equal footing.
Here it is. Let's anyway, the headline, certain countries are upset about being snubbed in Bush's Axis of Evil speech. Beijing, China, they're bitter after being snubbed for membership in the Axis of Evil. Libya, China, and Syria today announced that they had formed... that they had formed the Axis of Just as Evil, which they said
Libya,
would
China and Syria.
They're not playing second fiddle to anybody.
That's funny
when it comes to evil.
Sometimes the news is funny.
Yeah. Now this is unconfirmed news.
Stranger than fiction.
Stranger than fiction and unconfirmed. I want to reiterate, it's unconfirmed. Right. They say that their Axis will be way eviler than that stupid Axis. Iran, Iraq, North Korea thing that Bush was talking about.
Way eviler.
Way eviler.
Wait, that's evidence right there that it really does come from Beijing. Exactly. You ever read it like a Chinese menu and it one pepper's hot and two peppers is more hot? more hotter?
More hotter. Oh,
Actually,
I read that and I thought that was probably an AP editor who just, yeah, you know, public school graduate.
More hotter.
Well, anyway, the story goes on. Axis of Evil members, however... immediately dismiss the new Axis of Just as Evil as have, first of all, they said that's a really dumb name, the Axis of Just, and diplomats from Syria denied they were jealous over being excluded, although they conceded that they did ask if they could join the original Axis of Evil, but they were told it was full. Saddam Hussein says, an Axis can't have more than three countries. He said, this is not my rule, this is tradition. Do you remember World War II? Germany, Italy, Japan? That's an axis. So it can't have more than three.
That's really funny. And, but really, Iraq was in the first axis.
That's right.
They liked the Nazis.
Well, most of the Arab world sided with the Nazis.
Well, and because the Nazis hated the Jews. Mm-hmm. And Iraq was, you know, the only language that Mein Kampf, Hitler's book, was translated into, other than German, maybe even before English, was Arabic. And it was selling in Baghdad, and they were going to build the Berlin-Baghdad Railroad. Hmm. That project was planned and going to be underway, and World War II disrupted it.
Wow.
But anyway, so, okay, no Axis more than three.
That's right. And Saddam says, we've already got our secret handshake, and it's wicked cool, and they're out. Oh, and let me see. Again, this is unconfirmed news from a listener. International reaction to Bush's Axis of Evil declaration was swift, as within minutes... France surrendered.
Oh, that's good. This has got to be a true story. Hey, we got to do live commercials? All right, we like the music. Keep the music going.
It's a music bed.
Keep the music going, and we'll hold off on the commercial for another 20 seconds.
Yeah, we'll just listen to that.
Hey, Doug, this instant message says, why do we care what France thinks? They surrendered. Okay, speaking of surrendering, to keep Bob and Yurt Live on the air, we need your help.
So Bob is going to surrender to the impulse to ask for
raise money
donations.
So we need money. And the best way to support us, really, if you like Bob and Yurt Live, if you like the way we get to refute liberals and defeat their arguments, is to study the Bible with us. We have a monthly Bible study that we mail out, four tapes a month, and I teach a Bible study at Denver Bible Church Sunday nights. We have a blast.
It's awesome.
Right now we're in the book of Romans.
Man.
And Romans chapter 2, I tell you, that's a tough chapter for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Especially if you believe that we're saved by grace, which we are. That's a tough chapter. And so we're going to do Romans 2 this Sunday night. and it's going to be a blast.
And folks can sign up for the Bible study, automatically have 4 tapes a month shipped right to their door.
For
the privacy of your own home.
$24.95.
Yeah.
And you could start with the overview of the whole Bible that we do, and then we go into book after book. And we have a blast in the Bible study. You'll enjoy it. $24.95. So just call 1-888-8-NYART in order. That's 1-888-836-9278.
Listen to the fat bass.
Okay, our show producer is possessed.
Yeah. I've got the same guy who plagues my show with this type of music.
He's possessed.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
Anyway.
All right. So France surrendered.
Yeah. The whole Axis.
Right after the Axis of Evil speech.
Yeah. And
that's great. Calling evil, evil is good to do.
Yeah. And also, one good thing that George W. Bush did by calling evil, evil was he exposed the Europeans for what they really are, because they're all upset that we're going to continue the war and sustain it into other countries.
Right. And the good thing is, who gives a rip?
What do we care what the Europeans think, for crying out loud?
What is France going to do? Throw a nuclear power plant at us?
Douse us with mayonnaise? I don't know. Anyway, who cares what the French think, or the British,
for
that matter?
If the French don't get mad, we'll ship them more soap. They could always use some more soap.
They could use some soap.
And we'll ship them soap if they just sit on the sidelines and be quiet.
Yeah, just shut up there, Frenchie. Anyway, over in North Korea, in a related story,
yeah,
just to prove that the North Koreans aren't all that original in their thinking,
right.
A spokesman for North Korea described President Bush's President Bush, maybe I should just say W.
Yeah.
Described George W.'s Axis of Evil speech as tantamount to a declaration of war, and declared the United States the empire of the devil.
Okay.
That's the Korean reaction over there in North Korea.
So it's a declaration of war. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it when you can agree with much of what they say.
With the North Koreans.
Okay, that's a declaration of war. Cool.
How often do you agree with Kim Dong-il over there in North Korea? Right. Not very often. So thanks, W, for that.
Who wouldn't be ill with a name like Kim Dong?
We've got some news from the culture war, though, here on the home front.
Mm-hmm.
News out of San Francisco. Did you know, Bob, that in the state of California, there are 340 people serving life terms for shoplifting?
340 life terms in California for shoplifting.
And this isn't...
That's so California.
Now, this isn't an article emailed to us, and this isn't something I pulled off the Drudge Report.
The land of fruits and nuts.
Yeah.
That's so California.
340 people serving life.
For shoplifting.
For shoplifting.
That's because of their three strikes law.
That's right.
That's
this week, the Ninth
Which
Circuit...
Which we condemned viscerally when it was introduced. And
wait a minute.
It reared its ugly
head wait a minute. Wait. The three strikes law was championed by conservatives, Bob.
By
and Republicans.
By foolish conservatives, foolish Republicans, as if there were any other kind.
Yeah.
Because, for one, I've got a friend here in Colorado who used to be the president of the Colorado Republican Party, Steve Curtis.
Yeah.
And my wife, Cheryl, and I have had dinner at his home with his wife, Teresa. Real neat couple. Christian, strong pro-life.
I've met him. He's a great guy.
He slammed the Republicans, even though he was ahead of it.
Right.
He was slamming them while he was ahead of it, because the whole party is pro-abort, practically, except for the ones that go to caucuses.
Right, right. The low-level activists or operatives.
The ones who put the pro-aborts in office are
exactly,
pro-life.
Exactly.
So anyway, he was shot in the head point blank because of a three strikes and you're out case coming up in Denver, where he was going to testify the next day against the murderer.
Right.
And get shot. No, I'm sorry. He was with his friend who was going to testify.
That's right.
And the guy in jail sends hitmen. They break into the house and shoot them, three of them, point blank in the head. He survived.
Killed the other two guys.
Yeah, and Steve Curtis survived. He recovered fully.
And
so what he fought for then is a death penalty by a three-judge panel.
I remember that. I remember the
debate.
He came
on my show to talk about
it.
Mm-hmm. I said, Steve, Your intentions are good, but these judges are not going to execute anybody. They're going to let all these murderers go.
Yeah.
And of course, they have.
Yeah, and by the way, there's been one execution since the three-judge panel was brought to bear. And it was one of the most heinous of crimes that this guy was executed for. Since then, there's been a dozen or so, I would say, equally as heinous of crimes.
Right.
And they have not been sentenced to death because of the three-judge panel.
Yeah, right. The judges are bad because the law is bad. And God says you profane God if you don't execute every murderer.
Mm-hmm.
You're profaning God. So any law that says otherwise, you're going to have bad results.
Amen. Oh, speaking of profaning God, Bob, later on in the show, we're going to get to the atheist email. Remember, I had have an atheist listener to my broadcast, The Weekly Worldview at KGOV.com. Anyway, he sent a response to you and I discussed his email.
We talked about his email.
I've got the response right here. We're going to get to that a little later.
A response to our response.
A response to our response.
We'll try to refute his response.
Is that? Okay, I'm a little mixed up. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Right, and we're going to get to that a little later in the show.
It's like a responsive reading at a mass.
Yeah, but listen, Bob, about this three strikes law out in California, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is expected to overturn the sentences.
They should be overturned. Overturn the Ninth Circuit.
The Ninth Circuit. They should be turned out into the bay. Don't they hang around up there in San Francisco?
They should be deposed.
Is that where they're headquartered, the Ninth Circuit up there in San Francisco, right down in the Castro District? They have their own room in the back of a club.
Right.
Anyway, they're going to overturn. They're going to throw out the three. It looks like the Ninth Circuit is on the verge of throwing out the California law that's harsh against repeat offenders. It lets judges sentence defendants to 25 years of life for any felony conviction if and only if they have already been convicted of two serious and or violent felonies.
Right, and I'm on the verge of throwing up.
I know. It's like, what do you got to do in California to get some measure of justice?
Right. They don't understand that putting people in jail is a mistake. It's just school for criminals.
Yeah.
God says either execute them or corporal punishment, flog them, or restitution, make them pay back.
Well,
that's it. Those three, they're cheap and they work.
All right, tell me what you would do in this case. The case of Richard Brown.
Just kill him. Why, what'd he do?
We'll move on. No, I like that answer. No, anyway, Richard Brown. Now, let's keep in mind that Richard Brown had already been convicted of two serious and or violent felonies when he came up on his third charge for stealing a $25 car alarm in San Joaquin County, California. And he was sentenced to life in prison.
Right. So that's inane. And, you know, when you don't do what's right, you got to do something creative and you become inane.
Yeah.
And that's what they are. The violent criminals, the violent felons were, you know, well, we don't know what they were. It doesn't say.
Well, it doesn't say in the story, but they were violent felonies. And I think after like the first violent felony.
That's about like in Indiana. These kids were sentenced, young teenagers, for beating their teacher with a hammer.
Hmm.
Severely. Beat her severely. Put her in the hospital.
Yeah.
And so that sounds like attempted
murder. Attempted murder.
Right.
Death penalty.
So that would be the death penalty. And if you had that kind of law, then kids don't become murderers. They don't do that. They don't become rapists. And see, now, when this story was brought up, my engineer, the show back, pulled a sword out of a sheath.
They keep a sword out there by the board.
And now the sword is in the studio audience.
Yeah.
At our KGOV.
They've got the sword out and they're suggesting what to do. But Bob, a lot of Christians.
Be careful with that.
A lot of Christians, especially our Catholic brethren, they think that the death penalty is unjust. And they think that it was repealed in the New Testament when God got counseling and became nice and all
that. Right. Old Testament God was mean.
Yeah.
He got counseling in the intertestament period and went to, you know, and now he's nice.
Yeah.
And of course, God doesn't change like that, although he sometimes changes the rules. But he instituted the death penalty. And we have a video called The New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. And it's extensive.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody wants to know what does the New Testament say in defense of the death penalty from Jesus and Paul and John and the Gospels and Hebrews and Book of Revelation, and Acts, it's there, big time. Support, affirmation for the death penalty, the Book of Romans.
Yeah, and Bob, I saw that video about 5 or 6 years ago, and I've got to tell you that one thing I didn't expect to get out of that video that I got was a greater understanding of the gospel and the work that Jesus Christ did in light of an understanding of the death penalty.
Right.
It's amazing.
The death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and people are always saying, oh, I wish I'd have an open door to witness to so-and-so. Man, the Bible's a criminal justice textbook.
That's right.
Every day there are murders. Where's today's newspaper?
Do we have today's
newspaper?
Somebody
please run upstairs and get me today's newspaper? I'd like someone to run upstairs. Could somebody in the studio audience?
Yeah, go get today's newspaper, and let's see if by chance there's a violent and or...
Right,
serious felony.
There's your open door. If you're a Christian,
yeah,
and somebody has committed a crime, and you say to any given person, that guy should be executed. Let's go to the phones. And Dean, you're on with Doug and Bob.
Hey, Bob. This is Dean.
Hi, Dean.
I talked to you last night, and I called and told you about that story of the kids that beat up that teacher.
All right.
And apparently they were not...
Okay, we had a little feedback there. Go ahead.
Apparently they were not students at the school. They may have been students previously, but at the time they were not presently attending the school.
How old were they?
I think they were like 19.
Oh, 19?
Yeah.
So they had initial false... Yeah. Bob, sort of like the Drudge thing.
Yeah, I was going to say Bob stands corrected. But,
it's an epidemic.
You think it'd be safe to assume, Dean, that they had recently graduated and or dropped out of a public school somewhere in the area?
I think that's the case with those two.
Okay, now wait a minute. Dean, I was just saying before we took your call, how about in Denver?
Looking for an opening to preach the gospel.
To somebody. Here's today's Rocky Mountain Snooze Friday. February 8th.
Also known as the Denver Post.
Look at this. Page 4A. 7 bodies found in 24 hours. Victims died of gunfire in 4 cases. Gory day in the metro area.
That's the headline. Gory day
in the metro area.
That's
so
Denver.
Christians want to know. They're looking for an open door to witness. You're in a break room and you got the newspaper. And look at this. This story is on the same page. What's that headline?
Teacher arrested in sexual assaults. Multiple sexual assaults committed by a longtime
public school teacher. And so right here, you say, you know, that guy should be executed for sexually molesting kids.
Yeah.
And you want an open door to witness?
There's your door. If you understand the death penalty, you can understand the gospel.
Right. Yeah. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is based on the death penalty. That's why the Bible speaks of the death penalty from beginning to end. And Christ was crucified for our sins. And Christians who are weak on the death penalty undermine the gospel.
That's right.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Dean.
Since I'm on the line, I was reading the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
And they had an article about these priests in Boston.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know I'm opening up a can of worms.
Yeah.
Well, whenever you see a story about a priest in a mainline newspaper or wire service, it always involves molestation. Yeah, an altar boy somewhere.
Yeah, and hey, we've heard it since we did that story of Boston. Then there's the church in Ireland, the Roman Catholic Church, paid $110 million to settle with people who've been molested by priests. And so we've heard from one Catholic so far in Indiana who's got a terrible story to tell about a priest who twice tried to molest him, and we're following up with that story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it kind of ties into this, and, you know,
A priest who molests a child should not be moved to another diocese.
No.
Right. To move into the rectory and be a priest.
Dean.
Forget it.
Dean, I really appreciate the fact that you sent us that story so that we could relate it to other stories to let people know that the fact that Jesus Christ had to die in order to pay the debt that we owe for the sin of the world.
Yeah.
It wasn't just an academic exercise.
Hey, this article was really good because they're talking about the academic exercise, how the church is, you know, very, you know, the flock has to adhere to certain standards.
Right, and we got to say goodbye to Dean and Denver.
And Denver. Goodbye, Denver. This is Bob Inyart Live. We'll talk to you next week.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Hey, you must be them Inyart people! Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check that box.
Hey, Doug, they closed the schools in Russia.
In Russia?
Because of global warming.
What?
Temperatures reached minus 60 degrees.
yeah, right.
And they closed the schools. That's cold.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear what the weather's going to be like at the Olympics tonight, at the opening ceremonies? They're recommending layers of long
really
underwear and everything
nice
else.
Nice and globally warm. Yeah. And it wasn't quite as cold in the coastal regions in Russia.
Yeah.
It was only 40 degrees below zero.
Wow, 40 below zero.
And it's been persisting for 2 weeks. And you know, all the news about Antarctica, all the research lately that it's cold, it's getting colder, it's not shrinking, it's expanding.
Yeah.
And the scientists, they apologize when they release their results.
Yeah.
They do. They say, we're really sorry that Antarctica is still really cold. We were hoping it would be warmer, but it's still cold.
Maybe that's their first step toward abandoning the whole theory. And that relates to this story, Bob, that I got from The Observer over in London.
Yeah.
I got this on Sunday. The headline is human evolution finally over? And I'm thinking, oh boy, what do we got here? Right. Scientists say our species has reached its biological pinnacle and is no longer capable of changing. A group of biologists believe Western lifestyle now protects humanity from the forces that used to shape evolution of Homo sapiens.
Why do you think they're saying that?
Because this is step one. They're going to have to abandon it eventually, Bob.
Abandon the theory.
It's ridiculous on its face.
So now they're saying, well, we're not going to evolve anymore.
Right.
Yeah, but how about all the other creatures?
Well, the other creatures, I don't know.
How about Bison betularia?
They might.
How about a moth? Why can't a moth evolve?
It might evolve, but house cats and dogs and people who hang around with people who are involved in Western culture, they're not going to evolve anymore.
Right.
This is from Professor Steve Jones, University College in Edinburgh. He says, if you want to know what utopia is like, now he's sitting in Edinburgh, England, mind you.
Right.
He says, if you want to know what utopia is like, just look around. This is it. This is the pinnacle. It doesn't get any better than this. I guess he popped open a Michelob at that point. I don't know. It's like some kind of TV commercial.
Hey, I got an instant message here. The cold is caused by warming. That's what they say. They say that.
Yes.
The scientists say the reason it's colder is because we have global warming.
Yes.
They really say that.
It's the whole yin and yang. You just don't get it, Bob.
Right.
You got to think in that, you know.
And temperatures always have a minor variation.
Yeah.
And it's what makes the world the world. It's the system that God has created for
yeah.
us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, Bob, I finished the book in the beginning by Walt Brown.
Walt Brown.
And I've flagged the appropriate chapters that I want you to read.
Great. And Doug pre-read the book for me.
Yeah.
I wanted to read it. And thank you, Doug, for doing that. So I'll read the highlights.
Yeah. I've got that all flagged and ready.
Creationist evidence that God created the world.
Yeah, because we've got a faction of the church who insists that you read this book.
Mm.
So we've got to get that, and it is tremendous piece of work. The guy is definitely a genius, and he's definitely in touch with the scripture.
Great.
So a really good book. I just wanted to throw that in case that faction of the church
great
is listening.
Creation book.
Want to keep them around.
Okay.
Anyway, according to these scientists and professors and transgendered persons over there in England at the university in Edinburgh,
yeah,
certain scientists there believe humans are becoming less brainy and more neurotic. And they say that the Rosie O'Donnell show is proof of all that.
That's really funny.
Anyway, and by the way, I just wanted to point out that we don't make fun of Rosie O'Donnell because of her physical appearance or anything like that. We hate her because she hates God and she hates children and she's pro-choice. That's why we hate her. It's not just because she's a... And we'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We'll just leave it at that.
Cool.
But now what did we want to do? Oh, I wanted to talk. I saw that as you're picking through emails and...
Yeah, and instant messages
and
coming
instant messages.
Right and left.
Someone had sent the headline asking, you know, if we knew about this story, the young girl in California who's missing, the Van Damme girl.
Yeah, and with the mother having an affair with the neighbor.
It's a bizarre
Mrs.
story.
Mrs. Van Damme and her neighbor Westerfield.
Right. Now, from what I heard, Bob, this mom,
yeah,
apparently her husband stayed home and was in bed by 10 o'clock, according to his testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Testimony, whatever he told the police. Yeah. And she was out until 2:30 in the morning drinking and dancing with another man.
With a neighbor that she's been drinking with in the past at the same bar.
Drinking with, dancing with, who knows what with.
Yeah, so she's already having an adulterous affair.
Now wait a minute. That's maybe a little stretch. Just because she goes out drinking and dancing with a friend who's not her husband, does that necessarily...
Yeah, that's grounds for divorce right there.
Cut and dry.
That's adulterous. And Jesus said, if you lust after another man's wife in your heart, you've committed adultery, the sin of adultery.
Right.
But it's the crime when there's a physical relationship, and adultery should be recriminalized. But this here is basically she's being unfaithful.
Yeah.
And we've said on this show how many thousand times that sexual immorality leads to increased risk for your children, for yourself,
right,
your family.
Your own life, your family.
And so what happened that night? That very night, her daughter disappeared. She was dancing and drinking and
partying
until
two in the morning or whatever, smooching up with her low-life, low-rent neighbor, and came home. The door to the home was ajar. The door to her daughter's room was ajar.
And so she says. But okay,
if she's telling the truth. Now,
right.
She's a little tipsy. She's had a few pops.
Right. She's been drinking. We don't know. We don't have enough evidence.
Right. She could be lying about all this.
To draw conclusions, we don't know. But she says the door of the house was open.
Yeah.
So she closed it.
She closed the door to the house. She goes and closes the door to her daughter's bedroom without checking in on her.
And what kind of a mother? Well, when you're destroying your daughter's family,
right,
you're no kind of a mother.
Right, through adulterous and
the Bible talks
behavior.
About the woman who destroys her family with her own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's doing. And so if her daughter was in crisis or in need, she wouldn't know.
She was oblivious.
She was a drunk slut.
She was a drunken slut out partying.
She comes home. She shuts the door. And her daughter, maybe they could have found out 6 hours earlier or 4 hours.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe the daughter was, who knows?
But, Bob, I just want to, you know, do you think it's very helpful in a Christian spirit to call someone a drunken slut? Do you really think that, you know, helps?
Matters.
Helps matters at all?
Well, nowadays, it's considered taboo. You could only mock Christians. right-wing, white European male Christians.
Prudish types.
Right, but people, like in the Bible, see, we got an instant message here, watch your words. With how many exclamation marks
whoops,
is that?
Whoops.
I can't count them all.
S word.
Watch your words, because we called her a slut.
A drunken slut, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, and a lot of Christians think, oh, that's terrible. But what they haven't done, which we've done, is go through the Bible and list everywhere where wicked people are called names.
Yeah.
And all kinds of names, and very harsh names, and some very harsh, difficult, painful things are said.
Right.
And you know what? It's effective. There needs to be a stigma for women who sleep around. But political correctness has even affected the right-wing nuts out there, and they think you can't talk like that. Where if the Bible calls some guy a whoremonger...
Whoa, watch it now.
Christians, right? Well, Christians will think, you can't talk like that.
That's not very nice.
No, that's ungodly. But, you know, the Bible calls people all kinds
and I've got to tell you about
harsh terms.
Since I met you and started hanging out with you and folks like you who are interested in the Bible and who like to teach about the Bible and help to understand the Bible, I have met girls who are acting like sluts who I believe, because of their cultural background, don't even realize they're sluts until someone says, gee, you're a really disgusting slut. Right. And they're shocked.
Right.
You know, when someone... Right. Someone who claims to be a Christian comes and says, you're a really foul, disgusting, filthy slut.
Right.
And for the first time in their life, someone's got their attention. Someone who Mike can tell them about who God is and how to straighten their life
up. You know, we got a videotape on that Amy.
Amy's call. Classic.
Where this girl calls in. She's not a Christian.
Right.
And she's not a Christian. Let's see here. If you're going to call someone a slut, please explain the word. A woman of loose morals.
Sleeps around, shacks up.
Yeah. A woman called into my show, and she's not a Christian, and I'm trying to explain the gospel to her, and she doesn't need to be saved because she's good enough to get to heaven.
That's what she said.
Right. And she won't get anywhere. We got it on videotape.
Yeah.
We sell it. Amy's call. So finally, I think, well, let me try a different approach. She's not humbling herself before God and admitting her sin. So I said, well, you say you're good enough to get to heaven. Tell me about yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I have a child and his father, his father, you mean your husband? Oh, well, we're not married.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you're not married.
Yeah.
You're not even good enough in man's eyes.
Yeah.
You're a slut and you think you're good enough to get to heaven. So she said, blankety, blankety, blank,
bleep,
and we hung
bleep,
up on
bleep.
It.
Yeah, I remember.
I wish we would have put her on hold, but I jumped the gun to stop someone from getting out, and I hung up on it.
But see, she hung up, and she was mad. Doesn't that prove the point, Bob, that you get brutal and mean with somebody, they're just going to get mad and hang up, and,
right,
and then what are you going
to
do?
I said on the show, I proved my point. Listen to her language. She's not a lady. If she were a lady, she wouldn't talk like that with a filthy mouth.
Yeah.
They have to wash out with soap. So anyway, Christians called up, said, Bob, because of you, she's going to go to hell.
Yeah, I remember the backlash.
Amy's going to go to hell because of the rotten Christian that you are.
Yep.
And you weren't loving and kind to her. Mm-hmm. And she called back a year later.
Mm-hmm.
We put both calls on one tape.
Yeah. And it's all on videotape. The record's all there.
Amy's call.
888-836-9278.
They picked nice bump music this time.
Those guys, they're nice guys.
For this live commercial.
I know. Thanks for thinking of us, guys. Because it was getting a little bit, you know, we're older. See, I told you that it was going to do something weird.
You did say that as soon as the bump came.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were going to do us a favor with some nice music. But this is all right.
It's not too bad.
It didn't get too weird. All right.
Now we've got to do a commercial. You were just doing a commercial for Amy's call.
Yeah.
And
We were. And so when we come back from this commercial break, we have to finish, just tell people in the audience that she got saved.
Yeah, she got saved.
Yeah, Amy got saved. But not everybody listening to the show hears the commercial break.
That's right.
But most people do.
Yeah.
So this is a live commercial break. And two things we want to get across. One is the trip to Turkey, the first 2 weeks in May.
Yeah.
Leaving May 1st. And people in the audience, you guys can figure out when we get back. It's 2 weeks in Turkey, and it's about $3,000 a person. It will not be a large group. It'll be a nice group. And so if you'd like to come along, call us at 1-888-8-NYART, and we'll need your money pretty soon.
Yeah, that sounds exciting, Bob. Yeah. But you know what's more exciting, I think, than even Turkey or any other place on the surface of the globe is the plot and how popular it's become. I just saw on your email, you got an order right there for five plots.
Five plots.
Five.
Out of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Man, what are the odds of that?
in Vegas.
We're not even on in Vegas.
Yeah, we're not even, yeah.
Well. I'll take action on that one. Who out there in the audience wants to bet us?
That is phenomenal. A book that helps people understand the Bible.
The Bible. It's phenomenal. That's why we're going to Turkey, because a huge part of the Bible deals with Turkey.
Anyway, whatever happened to Amy, Bob?
Amy.
The woman you offended and caused to yell at you and hang up.
We just offended some people with that bumper music.
Oh, man, I'm offended.
Okay, Amy called back a year later, and she said, Bob, Amy? Because who could not remember Amy?
Yeah, it's that Amy.
This is Amy. Bob, I need to apologize for what I said a year ago. And I accepted her apology because it was despicable what she said.
Yeah.
What I said was true. What she said was wicked, vicious, perverse.
Foul.
Yeah. And then she told the story of how in the last year she said, every day I was so mad at you. I think she might have said, I hated you because I remembered every day what you said to me.
Yeah.
And so it got to her. And it needed to, because she thought she was good enough to go to heaven and she's going to hell. She says, every day I thought about what you said to me, and then I went to a Bible study with my aunt, and my aunt showed me from the Bible how you can't be good enough to get to heaven, and if you believe in Jesus, you could be saved. She said, I prayed, and I became a Christian.
Man, that is so awesome.
And that's what we told people when they called in, and they said, because of you, she's going to hell. Mm-hmm. And we said, hey, she's closer now to getting saved than she's ever been in her life.
Amen.
Because a Christian told her she's a slut.
Ouch. Okay. All right. And folks, the videotape is even more dramatic than that retelling of the story. You should really pick it up. Amy's call. Mm-hmm. Give us a ring. But Bob, before we run out of time, and we're rapidly running out of time, we've got to cover the email from the atheist, the response to our response, the rebuttal to our response. And we must do a rebuttal at this point. So I got this email. It's from Mark. He says he's listening to KGov recently, and to my surprise, he says, I heard you say, oh, and speaking of atheists, and of course, we went on to talk about Mark and some of the questions he'd asked.
Yeah.
And we answered some of them, and you even asked some more questions. Mm-hmm. And Mark says, in answer to Bob's question, I am willing to honestly weigh the evidence for God. He says, I answer yes to that question. I am willing. Unfortunately,
he's going to have to prove himself. He says he'll honestly weigh the evidence for God.
He even put in honestly.
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 He's going to have to prove himself. Go ahead. Yeah. What's his objection?
He says, unfortunately, I haven't found any logical proofs for the existence of God.
Oh, brother.
Every single argument I've heard or read is fallacious.
Now, we covered proofs on that show for the existence of God. So what example does he give that we were in error?
Well, he says... let me see, I have to find it here in the email.
This is Mark.
He says, Bob made the cliche cosmological argument for God's existence that the universe must have a first cause. He says that's the cliche cosmological. This argument fails in two parts, he says. Number one, there is no logical reason why your God must be the first cause. Vishnu is an equally likely candidate.
Vishnu, a Hindu god. Now... right there, he's right. We didn't say because there must be a supernatural creator, he must be the God of the Bible. We didn't say that.
No.
We did not say that. That he's listening with his pre-tuned ears.
Right.
His bias. We said there must be a God.
Must be a creator.
There must be a creator.
Right.
based on the laws of physics. So once we establish that there must be a God, then it's another discussion to talk about, well, what kind of God is he?
Right.
And can we know him?
Right. And then we can discuss Vishnu. And
so his first accusation against us, it's on tape.
It was on tape.
You were on a few weeks ago on a Thursday night, it's on the internet. We didn't say that. But what's his second accusation?
Number two, he says, unless God...
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Notice we're honest.
Sure.
At least we're honest. He claims to be honest.
He said it right there in his email, honestly.
Right. Once, when you establish that there must be a creator based on the laws of physics,
right,
that doesn't prove that it has to be Abraham's God.
No, certainly not.
It's just a creator of some type.
Right.
It's an additional argument to say, what creator? Who is he? Can we even know him?
Right. That's a whole different...
So that's honesty on our part. We're teaching people in the audience how to recognize honesty.
Right.
We don't claim that every piece of evidence proves everything we believe.
No.
No. Okay, so what's the second accusation?
But Mark knows our biases, see? So he knows that the end game is to get him interested in Jesus Christ.
Right.
He knows.
And that is true.
He's suspicious of
what's
us.
What's the second?
Number two, he says, unless God is exempt from the laws that you propose, which would invalidate the presupposition.
Ah, this is great. Go ahead.
God must have an origination.
All right. Now, this shows that Mark, the atheist.
Yeah.
What's his name? Do we know his last name?
Should we say it on the air?
Why not?
Mark Smothers.
Mark Smothers. We know that Mark Smothers, the atheist, is not honest.
Mm.
We know that. Probably not honest with himself. Because this is the argument we made. The natural universe, the physical laws that govern the natural universe show that the physical universe could not have created itself and could not have always been here. Therefore, it must have a supernatural creator that's outside of the physical universe.
Mm-hmm.
So we call him supernatural.
Supernatural.
And so the Bible argues, we argue, Christianity and Judaism argues that there is a spiritual creator who's not subject to the physical laws of the universe because he's not physical.
And I thought you pointed out that.
Of course I pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
So for Mark Smothers and every other atheist in the world to logically refute Christianity on this basis that it wasn't, you know, philosophers had figured this out for centuries back to before Christ, that there must be an initial cause of the universe.
Right.
It wasn't until Christian scientists 100 years ago, Lord Kelvin and...
Galileo.
Well, Christian scientists,
but
I'm thinking of the two scientists who devised the first two laws of thermodynamics.
Not Isaac Newton.
Lord Kelvin and...
Come on, our homeschool audience, we're searching.
It's another scientific measurement. Kelvin is degrees Kelvin.
Hmm.
And what's the other guy? It'll come to me.
It's not the Newton, but I thought.
It'll come to me. Christian men define the first two laws of physics that matter cannot be created nor destroyed in the physical universe, and a fire cannot burn forever.
Right.
Therefore, the universe could not have created itself from nothing, and it could not have always been burning forever.
Doesn't make sense.
It would have been burned out by now.
Right.
So sense, logic, reason is scientific that the universe could not have created itself. It couldn't have always been here. Therefore, logic necessitates that it had to come into existence from a creator outside the physical universe, a supernatural creator. Now, Mark, if you want to refute our argument, refute that. James Jewell. Just came in.
James Jewell over the
instant message.
You.
A Jewell, a measurement electricity.
That's why you've got the brightest audience in the country.
James Jewell and Lord Kelvin, two Christian creationists who rejected evolution after Darwin, set down the foundation of all the laws of physics by their brilliant insights, the most well-tested laws of all of physics.
Mm-hmm.
And they prove... They don't suggest.
Yeah.
They prove there has to be a supernatural creator. Now, they don't prove much about him other than that he predates the physical universe and he's very strong.
Very powerful.
Yeah.
And creative. And yes, Mark, yes, he is exempt from the laws that he created.
Well, he created the physical universe and the laws are a description of that universe and not right. So, Mark, disprove that.
Yeah.
Try to get your brain around that and disprove it. Just logically show how we're wrong. But don't misunderstand the argument and go about disproving your misunderstanding. What's the benefit of that?
Yeah.
Does he have any other argument?
Well, he's got a couple more things here. If he can take it, he's probably on the floor, quivering mass of jelly by now. He's been beaten over the head with this.
Okay.
He says another faulty argument from creationists, there must be a God. Now, can such a complex universe... Oh, I'm not reading. It's an argument from ignorance. I can't read this.
Let me pick.
I can't read it.
Okay, here's another faulty argument from creation. You scribbled so much of it, and so did I. Another faulty argument from creation. There must be a God. How can such a complex universe come into existence?
Right. There must be a God.
This is all scribbled.
That's what creationists say.
That's the argument from design.
Right.
Irreducible complexity, like a flagellum, is so complicated.
It's a little one-celled job, right?
A one-celled sort of outboard motor
for
getting around, for swimming, for this little tiny creature, and it's irreducibly complex in that it could not have evolved piece by piece. It could not, by definition. It's irreducibly complex. It all had to come into existence perfectly functioning from the get-go.
Now, Mark... Refute that.
Right, refute that.
Okay, that's hanging out there for you, Mark.
That's number two.
All right. Now, he says also, Bob asked if there are absolute right and wrongs. I say there are.
He's an atheist. He says there is such a thing as absolute right and wrong,
but
that's logically inconsistent for him. He's being foolish, but does he say more about that?
He says, my theory is from sociobiology. A group that permits...
Like a bunch of ants or human species
ants,
living together.
Frogs, rats.
Okay, what does he say?
He says, a group that permits stealing, murder, rape, and other activities that we deem wrong will die out over time.
Well, so what? That's arbitrary to say, so that's bad? So a species that dies out is evil?
Well...
That's arbitrary to say that. We want HIV to die out.
But
it's
not
evil.
I don't think he attributes wickedness to them. He's just saying that they're going to be gone.
Right.
And he says groups that perpetuate justice... and other concepts that glue a society together last longer.
Right, but so what?
But does
that
it, yeah.
doesn't make one right and the other wrong.
Right.
What is the HIV virus right if it infects more people and perpetuates itself? That doesn't make it right. This is an arbitrary standard he's creating. And you know what he said, Doug, if I heard what you said? My theory of right and absolute right and wrong is from sociobiology. If it's his theory, he's admitting it's not absolute.
It's not absolute.
Where's your standard of absolute right and absolute wrong?
And who's to say that dying is bad and living is good?
Right.
That's how can an atheist?
Right. Some individual organisms in a species, like Nazis, think it's good to kill Jews.
Right.
And they don't care. Even like. The terrorists say, even if we die, we don't care as long as we kill some of you.
Yeah.
They say, even if we lose our cause, as long as we kill some of you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you refute that on the basis of sociobiology? You say, but it doesn't help promote their cause. They say they don't care.
Right.
And Mark Smothers, why is your morality better than theirs?
And why is life any better than death, really?
Right.
I mean, from the atheistic worldview,
right.
I don't know.
Or from a blade of grass or from algae. What's the difference?
Yeah.
If you rape and murder or give life and love and care, it doesn't matter. Without God, there is no absolute right and wrong. And Mark, you are illogical to maintain that there is. And your own short email exposed you.
Amen. You know, Bob, Mark sends me a lot of really great news stories over the week. So it's obvious to me that he's intelligent. And he's conservative,
even. He has an IQ, but he's dishonest.
He
doesn't have the courage.
Right.
If he had the courage to listen to the arguments for God, he would know that we are positing a supernatural creator outside of the laws of physics that is not subject to those laws.
And, Mark...
But he doesn't know that.
Mark, you're going to meet him. Bob Enyart Live.
There is a God, Mark, and you're not him. This is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.